The Vox Markets Podcast.
Welcome to Taking Stock. It's the 17th of January, 2024. Hope you're feeling well. I'm feeling a bit rough, like the markets, to be honest, on my own today. So by all means, join in with the comments, hit that thumbs up button, share it, and subscribe to the channel if you could. And don't forget, download the Vox Markets app. It's free, I tell you. VoxMarkets.co.uk/app. The title of this video is Interest Rates and Inflation Higher for Longer, Markets Equaled Lower for Longer. And I did say many times, I said it on this video many, many times, I hate saying I told you so, but I do think Q1 is going to be very tricky. And estimations now for the central banks reducing interest rates being pushed out a little bit, and they're not going to reduce them as fast as they thought. In fact, let's look at the markets first. In fact, one of my worst performers today is my big fund, my FTSE 350 fund. It holds the 50 biggest yielding dividend payers in the FTSE 100, 250. That's down. In fact, let's look at the bonds here. Bond price is interesting. As you can see, we've had a good rollover on the chart here, going back to that peaked out in 6th of July 2023, pretty much. And you can see it steadily coming down. And now this level, we've had previous resistance there, but now this level we've had a bounce. And today, biggest rise they've had for a while, up 2.67%. This is the 2-year government bond yield. Now, these are inversely related to the markets, pretty much. So when these rise, the markets tend to go down. So a little bit worrying. Sticky inflation, sticky icky. And let's have a quick look at the stock exchange here. Look at this, FTSE 100 down 1.70%. The risers, there's normally a lot more than this here, okay. IMI 4%, Smith and Nephew, FTSE 100 down 1.7%, 250 down 1.9%. In fact, again, the AIM All share, said this quite a few times, it's faring a bit better than the others, but it's still down 1.22%. So you got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 rises in the FTSE 100 there, but the fallers, biggest fall of the day, of course, anything, I suppose, expose the interest rates, all that stuff, they're going to take a hit. Persimmon, which, of course, house builder, down almost 4.5%. Ocado, big rise yesterday, down again, lost that thing. Land Securities, 7 trend. I suppose Glencore is down. Apparently, Chinese GDP came in above estimations, but they're saying it's a bit shaky. It's not looking convincing, the recovery in China. So, yeah. I just want to show you this. So this was the experts' opinions. Actual was 4%. This is year-on-year CPI. The forecast is 3.8. Down to BM Fags, apparently. Who can blame people? wasn't it a duty went on BM Fags? The people, alcohol and tobacco, that blipped it up. But the previous 3.9, and that's year-on-year. And month-on-month, look at that. Double the forecast. 0.2% was forecast, 0.4% it went up by. Inflation rises for the first time in 10 months. The CPI, this core CPI, see a little blip up here. It's a little blip. It seems like a little blip, but it just, it's the old cliche people have been saying about inflation doesn't go down in a straight line. That is very true. And of course, we have, other issues going on now with the Suez Canal. Will that affect things? In fact, though, I mean, looking at, commodities, they've taken a bit of a battering today. So, it's not a bad thing. I mean, what's the biggest falls today? Natural gas really coming off. I don't understand what's going on here. It's literally freezing cold, but the gas price, I'm assuming storage is up high. And so the pull on that is not expected. What do you got? End of this week, it's getting milder. Maybe that's it then for the winter. But all the commodities are down. In fact, that'll be good that Brent's coming down a bit. It did start a rally on the worry about the Suez Canal and the Houthis there just shooting at boats and stuff. But, but if you look at this, they're saying now that traders are pricing in more than a 50% chance the central banks will hold rates until May. For the end of 2024, 114 basis points 1.25%. Rate cuts are now priced in compared to 122. So it's gone down there. Ruth Gregory, Deputy Chief UK Economist at Capital Economics, said it's for inflation to fall below the bank's 2% target in April. Yeah. They expect. That's it. I mean, you know, Ruth is one of the experts, I think, predicting these numbers. It's really hard to predict that. How do they know that? There's so many moving parts. I've got to laugh at the confidence which these people throw these estimates and expectations out. And the confidence they have, based on what? A very poor track record. You know? Samuel Tums, chief economist at Pantheon Macroeconomics, says energy prices falling further would drive down overall inflation, which he said would give the bank confidence to cut its rate for the first time in May or failing that June. However, he did warn that five cuts priced in by investors to bring rates down to 4% this year looked a stretch. Mm. It's been interesting to see. Won't it? I mean, next month we may get an excellent CPI figure coming out, and it's all back on. But I do think, you know, at the moment, Q1 is going to be hard. But eventually, if you look at the lagging figures coming through, in fact, PPI today, which is, you know, semi-finished goods going into factories and stuff. That was down -2.8%. And so that's very interesting. So, you know, these lagging indicators. And in fact, you know, wage inflation yesterday, like I said, it is coming down. It's still 6.6%, but it's still coming down. So we are seeing job vacancies, like I said, up. So we are seeing sort of factors suggesting inflation will come down. But the last, 2% is probably going to be the hardest. So, it's going to be hard work. Alex, hi, Justin. When will you be opening membership to your investment club? Oh, okay. I'm having a massive update. It's taking a lot of time, a lot of development. But when it's done, so it may be end of Feb, I think. But yes. Hannah, stupid panic sellers. Yeah. No, I mean, generally, if you're in good companies, you know, and isolated to the headwinds. And by headwinds, I mean, I keep thinking you have to be sector focused a little bit, you know, because it's not going to get any easier for business. The reason why central banks will reduce interest rates is not because there's a rosy picture. You know, it's because the economy is slowing down to the point where it's bringing inflation down, you know, and it's lack of demand for goods and services. And that will bring prices down. And so if you have lack of demand for goods and services, that just means, you know, the economy is slowing down and businesses will struggle. So it's worth looking at that. And that's the background to which they'll reduce interest rates, I believe. But the markets look ahead. And if the markets see the central banks are easing then, they'll say, of course, that the economies will get better. Inflation up. I must dump all my shares. Really annoys me. Well, inflation's always been up. The prices we're paying, you know, like I said, where did it peak out at? It was 11.1% in October. So this 4% is on top of that. You know, so nothing's coming down. It's just the rise is slowing a little bit, but it hasn't slowed as fast this month as before. So all that cost of living pressure is still happening. You know, people going under no mortgages, that's happening. So there is a cost of living squeeze here. And I can't see the real economy doing well for a while. But the markets will react to central banks. If inflation comes down, the markets will react positively to central banks, suggesting they're going to reduce interest rates. So the economy is not going to get any better. So if you're in a company that's, it's hard to say, if you're in a company that's, you know, consumer facing, they've got a bit of debt. And it's very sensitive to it's non-discretionary. Then I think they're going to have a hard couple of trading updates in the next few quarters. It's not going to be easy. So be careful what you invest in, sector-wise. That is. Michael, terrible day in the markets. A Santa rally wiped out the last 2 weeks, hibernating until second half of March. Yeah, Dagger, he did. All that Christmas pudding has driven up inflation. We'll dry January, drive it down. Yeah, that's what we need. It's odd, but we need people to stop spending. And they are. They will do. I guarantee they will do, you know. Are you losers reading trading statements, crap coins the other way? Informer, leave it with the crap coins. I'm sure there's plenty of YouTube videos out there talking about crap coins, pumping those all day long. But like I said, you know, with differences in format, with crap coins and all that stuff, you have to be prepared to wake up one morning and see that that money you invested in that crap coin is no longer there. You know, and normally, if you invest in businesses, there's warnings, there's trading updates. We can see something going wrong. Panicky, SBDS is up to date. Everything else is looking good, looking poor. You know, silver bullet data, you know, one of the stocks I hold, has been doing very well. I mean, let's be honest, if you think of where it is, and I talk about sector strength, you know, a lot, and look at sectors. I mean, that's silver bullet data. I don't know, I invested down here somewhere. But that's the backdrop of third-party cockles, third-party cockles being deprecated, being removed by Google. That's huge, massive, you know. That's a theme that's not going to go away. That's permanent, and it's starting this year. So advertisers thinking, how can we target people without this? And their 4D AI platform is ideally placed for that. So it's a theme that's going to get stronger throughout this year. You know, so that's what I mean by looking at sector, you know, when it's specific companies, make sure what you're looking at is insulated pretty much. You know, okay, is it coming here from yesterday? Who's it from? Steve. Can't fault Steve. Good solid name is Steve, isn't it? Morning, Justin. Morning, Steve. Would appreciate your take on Oxford Biodynamics. I never usually go for falling shares, but I think this may be oversold, especially as they've raised cash and still have plenty left, albeit they have got debt. Thanks a lot. Have they got debt? No, well, I'll show you what I think here. This is just what I think. I think, first of all, excellent technology, cracking thing. This is, whenever you're investing in stocks, right, I have to, in my head, I have to categorize them. This is a hope pipe potential stock. Those types of stocks can earn you lots of money. Now, the time to get in on this was pretty much, you know, OBD, if you're aware, was down here somewhere, or even here, you know, pretty much. We're back at this level now. That's what I'm saying. It's a story stock for me. It really hasn't commercialized the technology, which is very good by the looks of it. But the road to commercialization is very bumpy. It's fraught with bumps, potholes, and all that stuff. All right. Now, of course, because they're in this area of these discovery platforms, cancer, all that stuff, biomarkers, it takes a lot of money, you know, R&D. So they had their prelims out today. So they are a 53 million market cap company. Their cash spend is very high. That's the worry a little bit. The technology, of course, is not in question. I don't think so. Like I said, with Polarian technology, that technology was in question, but you see the road to commercialization takes a long time. And sometimes it can stumble and stop, seemingly. And it makes you question the technology. But the thing with hope pipe potential stocks is they have to have lots of cash, okay? A runway of 12 months or so, because then you can let the story flourish. It's a story stock, you know? Once the worry about cash starts setting in, that becomes the story. And you don't want that as a story. And if you look down here, revenue of $500,000, so they're not really commercializing anything yet. Operating loss of $10.2 million. So as a rough figure, always look at operating loss or go to the net cash use on the cash flow statement and say there's a 12-month statement, okay? So pretty much, I think, right, let's say 10 million round figures. Normally, overdo it a little bit, so maybe see more spend. So in fact, let's do 10.2 divided by 12, okay, equals 850 grand a month. That's the cash burn, okay? That's the cash burn. And you scroll down, think, oh, where's the cash then? Let's have a look at the cash they got. And they have cash and equivalents of 5.2. So straight away, you can think, ah, hang on a sec, 10 million for the year. So they're doing about 5 million and a half here. And so this statement was the 30th of September. So October, November, December, January, that's 4 months. They've pretty much got 2 months left, I can see, on that cash burn. Now, you understand a placing can't be done overnight, you know. So, and in fact, whenever you look at the statement, it's always worth going down to going concern. Here we are, going concern. So they talk here, In assessing the appropriateness of adopting a going concern, they talk about this, the budget includes this, estimates of likely revenue arising from EpiSwitch. So these are estimates. Hopefully they get revenue coming in from this, which will lower the cash burn. But they did say, what do they say here? The group remained loss-making with income significantly exceeded by operating costs, which including spending necessary to expedite the development launch of PSC tests during the year. Raising 9.3. So they haven't raised anything since, have they? This has come out. They did say, where was it? Q2, I think they said. I think they said Q2. They look like they're gonna, there we are. Without any remedial action to reduce costs or delay expenditure, in these scenarios, the group and company would need to obtain additional funds during the second quarter of 2024 in order to continue as a going concern. So they're saying there, pretty much, it looks like they're going to need to raise money in Q2. And what are we now? You know, month one, Q1. So just assume that's going to happen. Now, of course, then people start to worry about the cash, they're raising cash. In this market, it's not very hard to raise cash. Of course, it's exciting technology. So they may have no problem raising cash, but it's always a tricky market to raise cash in. So just have that in your mind. And personally, myself, I would just wait until that's done. You know, I would, a couple of months, they may have some blurt news coming out, which will help. But that's right. Or, you know, what you can do, if you're worried about fear of missing out, put a little bit in, you know? I mean, it can help sometimes. Fear of missing out, you don't want to miss out completely. But if you put a tiny bit in, and I talk about, you know, percentages of your total portfolio value, and, I'm talking less than 3% of your total portfolio value. So that way, you know, if it goes down further, it's not going to break the bank, but you still have a bit of skin in the game. But if they get released news on their products and it goes up, then you're not missing out. So in my mind, when a cash runway 12 months is ideal in these loss-making stocks, you know, anything less than that, I mean, you got a little bit less than that, but when it gets to like 2 months, that's a little bit near the wire, you know, near the wire. Couldn't get the accent there. But nevertheless, I do like them a lot, Oxford by OBD. Just saying, they just need funding, that's all. They've said it there. Steve, I never look at oversold, by the way. Oversold can continue to be oversold for a long time if you're looking at RSIs. You know, you want to look for trends, really, and it ticking up. And so, because, you know, companies can get cheaper and cheaper and cheaper, and you think, wow! And it's nice to sit on the sidelines and see a company get cheaper and thinking, massive upside here now, rather than having money and see the money going on, you know, reducing value. The main move was pre-opening, down 90, and volumes took low, so just falling overseas markets today. Yeah, considering capital, does the chart say a worm is turning? No, on the AIM, it's a little bit worrying, actually. It's rolling over a bit, which is... it can change, but just looking at AIM... I mean, look at that. I mean, you'd want it to stay above this level, 729, 730, that previous support resistance there has gone above. But it's, you know, it's gone above the 200 moving average. Big sell-off today. But who knows? We want to go sideways a little bit, rounding off here and back up. Can take a couple of months, though. But, you know, all indices are down. Let's look at the front page of Vox here, see what's on here. Check it out. Poolbeg, a paradigm shift in the cancer immunotherapy, opening a £1 billion opportunity. In fact, I'll leave that to John there. John Heumann is chatted to Jeremy and David from Poolbeg. So check that out on the front page there. But lead asset Polb001 could help it tap into what could be a £1 billion opportunity in the cancer immunotherapy market. In fact, I did tweet a good news on that today. I don't know if you saw that, from the BBC. It's a new alternative to chemo. And I know there are quite a few companies looking at that, because chemo can make you feel very unwell. But there's a thing, is a little backpack, but kids are now using it. And they walk around, it's a kind of immunotherapy, I think. But it's breakthrough there. Let's have a look. Polbag is in most red, and in Dynamics, Hook is there, Nano. There's some news from this company. I've had someone try to promote this to me quite heavily. I don't see massive. So it's a 5.73 million market cap. It's called Acuity. The provision of risk management services that are delivered using award-winning software platform. I didn't see anything in the year-end update. It was, I mean, amazing there, to be honest. Revenues for 9 months expected to be 1.4. So it's down from 1.75. Total cash receipts and debtors amount of 1.2. Sales orders received 44% to 1.6 million value at the first 12 months. So maybe that's a good sign. But of course, I don't know how forward advanced those orders are. I assume orders are orders, contracted. So contract renewals achieved 85%. So it's looking decent. Sales pipeline, I pretty much ignore sales pipeline. I've been bought out for that sales pipeline play before, but am I missing something? I know someone's really someone's contacted me a while back on social media, was really bullish on that. No, I thought I didn't see the potential there, but there's quite a few other results as well today, actually, worth looking at. I think let's scroll down. Raising money, I think I was forecast there because they've been falling for quite a while there. But they raised Tirupati's graphite. What they raise? £1 million at 11 pence, which is much down to that. Chart on that is painful looking. Where's it by? TGR. Look at that. A couple of flirtations of the 200-day moving average here, and then it broke that back down below. And it's a bit of a downtrend there. There's a few companies raising money, isn't it? Blue Star raised money. Oxford by now need to raise money, they said. Blue Jay 1.2. Frontier Developments. It's taken a hammering, so I think a lot of it's sort of priced in. Wasn't good results, but they did, you know, forecast this or forward sell this in a trading update. Of course, they're into games and all that stuff. But revenue's gone down from 57 to 47. They've gone from half a million EBITDA loss to 5 million, pretty much. Operating loss 30 million from a 6.9 million. So, cash at the end of the period has gone down massively. You think now, I don't know if you've read that sort of, you know, they say current trading and outlook, total sales during the important trading period late November were in line with revised expectations. So, obviously, once you revise down, in the end, hopefully, you can exceed or hit those revised down expectations. The Warhammer was confirmed 16, so they got that, they licensed that. The board continues to expect full year revenue to be in line with guidance, a range of 80 to 95 million, and the guidance on adjusted is also unchanged. Okay, so what about the market cap now of these? 51. How much loss are they making though? 51 million, top line, because you'd think it should be, you know, one time sales if they're but interesting. Maybe it's worth looking at that. But, they're doing an analyst call. But like I said, it's been hammered on the chart. Funny developments. FDEV. Okay. Oh, my word. So we're going from, you know, 30, well, the high of 32 quid back in May 2021. And now at 131. Heck of a fall. Look at that. Wow. So is it the bottom? Who knows? But there's a couple of companies I quite like in the games space. I mean, like Team 17. I think, you know, these companies will recover. This company will recover. Tiny Bills and, you know, a bit of an issue there with, they've raised money now. They've got legal issues as well. To me, I'd avoid companies with legal issues. But yeah, Team 17, I think, is probably the best player, the highest quality player out there, which I quite like. Again, that's, you know, they've taken a hammer in gaming companies. But it's going to be, I'm watching. Gap down a trade update, but it's worth a watch. What else is there? There's a couple of companies worth looking at down here. Let's have a look. Rises, it's interesting. Nextech company, 81 million market cap, up 10% a day on a trading update on news. The leading technology solutions provider to customers in selected industrial markets today provides an update. They're comfortably ahead of market expectations, they said there. They were called Quixent, that's right. Revenues are 64 million, up 6%. Net cash, this is quite interesting. Net cash, 31st December, increased substantially to 27.9 or 28 million from 18.5. And this is outlook. The group made good strategic operational progress in 2020 with profit margins improving and cash generation returning to historical high levels. The board expects this improved margin to continue. That's what you want to see. You know, good news coming out. And looking forward to good news. The board expects this improved margin to continue. The group starts a new financial year with a good order book. Circa 5 months of revenues, which is consistent with historic levels, provides good visibility for 2024. So NXT, let's look at the chart here, see what's happening here. Oh, look, it's come off highly. Nice rally towards this, though. Nice little rally. And it's made, in the short term, rallied quite strongly. But it may have further to go if it consolidates. All right. Considering Capita, Dustin, there's the chart. So, oh, Capita, sorry. So Capita. I thought it meant the sort of the capital markets. You know, so, Capita. Capita. Where the hell is the CPI? Is that the ticker? Oh, yeah. No. Well, it's had a bounce from the lows, it looks like. Let's put the 50-day on a second. That's quite nice. What I like to see is a break of the 50 and a break of the previous highs. But there again, we've had quite a steady down drop. So it may have hit that. I could say that's a low, you know. But it's definitely not a trend yet. Be nice if now if it can sort of break these previous highs here of 22. But I'm convinced it's back below now the 50-day moving average, which is generally not a good sign, you know. So I'd say stand back, stand your beds. Yeah, Nextech looks good. I'm not sure on Gamma Communications. My son used to work for Capita. They're selling off all the dead wood, maybe getting ready for a buyout. Okay. FDM has had a few horrible last few years. There's a couple of other companies I want to look at. I'm going to say, where are they? Bull Baker, Cudi, Frontier, etc. The Mission Group. The Mission Group. I don't know what they do, but they had news. Are they rising today? Let's have it down. Rising or falling? It's always good to see. I mean, generally, I think what you need to look at is companies rising on news, not falling on news, you know, because said bad news can keep coming, especially in a bear market. So if you look at good news and just, you know, Next is rising on good news. And they say, looking forward, they expect to get better. So, you know, that's a good thing. You want to get, you know, it's odd. I mean, I keep saying if the companies, you know, we're looking at weren't listed and their share prices didn't move up and down and you literally had to invest in a business, you'd want to invest in an improving business, wouldn't you? But because there are opportunities with the liquidity, you know, shares falling out of bed, people doing catch a falling knife trades, think that people just think they jump in and have a play around the share price. But I mean, would you invest in that business if it wasn't listed? And I think that's a good measure to have, saying, is this business improving? Is it the kind of business I want to own a share of? And, you know, a lot of them come up with bad trading updates. No. So the fallers here is Cropper, James Cropper. He's come a cropper today. Down 33%, down to 51. Like, you know, the reason why I read these is because it gives you, a tell on the economic outlook, really. So based on third quarter trading in early indication of January, the fourth quarter, James Cropper, a leading advanced materials and paper and packaging group, today issues an update. They say broadly in line, but I want to scroll down because they say that they do mention a couple of issues in here. And the group, as a result of the above trend, the group now expects full year revenues to be not lower than 103 million. Full year adjusted profit is expected to be materially below prior management expectations, with board now expecting to report a small adjusted profit before tax for the year. Working capital has been well controlled. So you can see there, it's a little bit of pressure. It's coming. You can see this in a lot of companies. You know, it's starting to say this macroeconomic pressure happening. And that's why you have to search for areas or sectors that are not relying on this, they're not affected by this in some way. And there are sectors out there, you know, you're able to find many of them, but that's a good thing. It's, you know, that's what stock picking is about. You're not to find, you know, diamonds in the rough every 2 yards. You know, if you're mining for diamonds, it's hard work. But that's what it's about, stock picking. Was there anything? Oh, this is quite interesting. It's Hornby. They've come out, they've gone into a bit of, they're trying to copy a bit of Games Workshop a bit by doing, you know, little models and all this stuff in the gaming area. But the worry here, I mean, it did say here, group sales third quarter up 5% ahead of the same period last year. For a contextual basis in comparison, British Retail Consortium reported UK non-food sales decreased by 1.5%. So they're saying they're almost like 6.5% ahead of that. Black Friday helped, 10% growth. Now, the worry is here is that the net debt at the end of December was 13.5 million. I mean, it's come down a little bit. In fact, 1.1 million. So it's good. They're chipping away at that. Inventory is 22 million. Our current forecast for year end remains on track for year on year growth as we continue to work on responsibly reducing the excessive historical inventory position through the remainder of the year. So reducing that. Thing is, there's always that thing you see. Sooner or later, when interest rates come down, obviously companies then who are refinancing debt, it'll get a bit cheaper. So you may see, not yet though, we're not even into the woods yet. We may be halfway through in the woods, not out of the woods in this respect. But they may see a re-rating for companies with debt, because if their debt gets cheaper, of course, then it'll be less of a drag on their profits, on their costs. But not yet. So maybe we should do. Decent companies with a lot of debt that have been suppressed share price-wise that will have a re-rating when interest rates come down. That's quite a clunky title. I give it to you. You know, I grant you that. What else is there? Anything else? Anything else there? Test is up. I gotta say, my shares today are looking okay-ish. You know, it seems like the big fallers generally, Port Merion, Homewares. Yeah, they're down 70% again. You know, it's one of these things, a discretionary spend, isn't it? If you're struggling with your mortgage, you're going to go out and buy a new homeware set or whatever. I don't know. Marginally ahead sales outlook following a positive Christmas performance. We expect sales to return to growth in 2024 year on year alongside healthy operating margin compared to 2023. However, there's the however. We expect 2024 to be a challenging year due to ongoing macro uncertainty, with customers remaining cautious in relation to H1 order flow, in particular in the US and Korean markets. In addition, we expect to continue to incur higher interest costs during the year, given current rates. So yeah, you've got, there's a story. Both ends. Slowing demand, higher costs on debt. And that's it, you see. That's the problem. If you are in a consumer-facing company, you're going to have that. You're being bitten, you know, from both ends. Okay, like James Bond scene comes to mind where he runs across the crocodiles. That there's someone being eaten from both ends by a crocodile. Maybe that's a bit extreme, but you know what I'm saying. Anything else in the news you've seen? Sorry, Gamma, what are you saying? You said Gamma. Gamma Communications. I'm not familiar with those. I apologize, but let's just have a look here. Gamma Communications. They are a 1.1, just out of my size range. I know. I like tiddlers, me. Down 1.3. Scheduled trading update. Let's just look at the charts, me. Trading UK business, so they are a leading provider of unified communication as a service. Solutions announced a trading update. Overall, the board anticipates reporting a group financial performance, which will demonstrate healthy year-on-year growth in both adjusted EBITDA and adjusted EPS for the year. It's in line with the market consensus. What is the market consensus? Cash, net cash of 134 million. High cash generation. Board expects to announce results for the year. Right, the latest sell side analyst estimates full year adjusted EBITDA 113. So straight away you can say, you know, 10 times EBITDA, maybe, pretty much. Campus guidance there. So it doesn't seem expensive. Do they say that if they're growing and thing? Let's look at the chart here. Gamma. Seems all right, doesn't it? I mean, you know, at a quick glance. Wow, look at that. It's come off a cliff, isn't it? So you can see straight away there is a range. And I always say, if you're holding a stock that's paying a nice dividend, you don't mind a range. It's all right, as long as it doesn't break down from that range. But it's frustrating if you're in a range, if it's a stock with, you know, you're just looking for capital upside. The share price will go up, essentially. Because you're not earning any money on it, it's just sitting there. So what would be nice there is for Gamma to break 1,200 convincingly, and then you may see start of an uptrend. Because it's tried that as so many times. From when? From June 2022. And so it needs to break that. I mean, you could buy here, sell here, buy here, sell here. But typically, when you try and buy it here, it'll go lower. But, you know, so buy at 10 quid, sell at 12. All day long. There we are. That's trading. A trading range. Was there anything else? Notice that there. House prices fell for the most since 2011. We sort of know that, don't we? By 2.1% compared with the same month in 2022. That's the ONS. London was the region with the biggest annual decrease, with prices in the capital falling by 6%. A lot of people outside the capital thinking, yes, your prices are crazy anyway. Well, they are, aren't they? To be honest. Other measures of Britain's housing market have shown signs of stabilisation in recent weeks, with some gauges of house prices rising as demand picked up for mortgage rates appeared to have peaked. What's telling here is that Apple overtakes Samsung's, the world's biggest phone maker. All right? They are the best product, aren't they? I know people have Samsung's, have they? They know Samsung's better. But no, it's a bit more robust, isn't it, Apple? Anyway, they've knocked them off the top spot for the first time in 12 years. Samsung's at 19.4% of the market share, with Chinese phone makers Xiaomi, Oppo, Transsion falling behind. By the way, look at this. 1.2 billion smartphones were sold last year, a drop of more than 3% on the previous year. It's the lowest amount sold in a decade. I always have a problem saying that word. A decade, with many customers tightening their purse strings in the face of economic challenges and high interest rates. Experts predict the market will recover this year. That's interesting. Isn't that probably one of the most accurate, you know, metrics out there? Smartphone purchases. Because, you know, it's your life now, isn't it? My kids are addicted to them. They're glued to them. It's got everything now, smartphone. I don't even carry a wallet now, do you? It's just on my smartphone. Everything's on it. So when buying goes down, you know, it's the lowest amount sold in 10 years. That's quite a telling sign. But experts, well, we've heard from experts before. Oh, yeah. They know the thing. They pretty much miss every estimate on any number ever. But they predict the market will recover this year. So that's very interesting. Marvelous stuff. What's the point of smartphones now? So what is the improvement? A little bit more memory, a little bit better camera, a little bit better battery. That's about it, isn't it? Hardly a game changer. Okay. Yeah. Bitten on both ends. Another show title, Justin. Yeah. Hannah, Kavanagh had a big data breach last year. In the line of work, this was a disaster. Trust broken and big customers bailed out. Yeah, smartphone contracts increasing from 24 to 36 months, having an effect. Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Happy with my burner Nokia. Are you? Really? Wow. No, you haven't got a Nokia burner, have you? I've often thought of doing that. No, to be honest, I do find the iPhone amazing. But the biggest leap ever, wasn't it? When was it? Was it 2007, 2006? When they went to smartphone from Nokia. That was amazing. The leap in technology and usability there was fantastic. Since then, slow increments, pretty much. You know, what's going to be the next big thing, I suppose, in smartphones? Batteries, isn't it? But not, you know, if they come up with a... If the iPhone came out and said, a battery now charges your phone for a week. That would be a game changer, I think. You know, rather than plugging every night. That's annoying. It's not that annoying. It's a first world problem, but that kind of thing, that leap in batteries is the thing we need, isn't it? That would help everything, EVs, everything. So I think the next big development is battery development, in my mind. It's not very sexy, but it would be a game changer. Thank you very much, everyone. I'm going for a lie down, I think. I feel quite rough. I don't know why. That's it for this one. If you could hit that thumbs up button and share it, if you could. And what else is it? Yeah, Vox Markets app. Have you not downloaded that yet? Give it a try. It's very good. The RNS comes to you. Thanks a lot. Speak tomorrow. In fact, what is it tomorrow? Tomorrow is a Thursday. I think Vadim's here. And then Friday is John's here. And it's the weekend. Bye-bye, everyone. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.